It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
These rings will be evidence to the world of your marriage. Each of you went through a beautiful transformation on their journey to find each other. May their love and union today be an enduring reminder to all of us about the power of second chances, the power of vulnerability, and the power of following your heart, no matter where it leads you. With that said, by the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Well, that's it. Another Bachelor in Paradise couple has ascended to royalty in Bachelor Nation. Goose and Crystal, we wish you well on your journey.
Yes, they got a ceremony dripping in white, filled with a couple loved ones and then 30 strangers they don't know. My favorite part of their vows was Goose saying that they pray together every night.
Of course. As we know, everybody in Bachelor Nation loves them some Jesus. The show is only getting more Jesus-y by the season. Certainly Hannah liked her some Jesus. Luke liked him some Jesus. And now, even Goose and Crystal?
Luke really liked him some Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for another week of Game of Roses. I am Bachelor Clues.
This is Lizzie Pace.
And we're here once again to break down all your favorite players, all your favorite plays, everything that happened in this week of the game, who the winners were, who the losers were, what the errors were. Were there any surprises in the game? There were a few this week.
Were there any really interesting strategies? I feel like we saw a couple of them in this episode.
As well as some bad strategy, which we'll get to. But this week, the guys had the roses, which means the women were on offense this week. We started off with Tayshia essentially scraping off JPJ, telling him, you should be free to date other people. And I think this was a good play on her part, because if she wants to be free to date other people, she has to get rid of him. She has to at least open that possibility up. She does it in a gentle way, in a way that does not vilify her. She comes out on top in that maneuver, I think.
She is basically doing the same play that Katie had, even though they both had completely different goals in that. Katie just said it instinctively as a way to protect herself, even though she's really into Chris. But Tayshia does it in a way where she's like, Derek, buried underneath all that sand and sadness, seems like a real catch.
He's a buried treasure. Then we have Tajwan, a night one girl, comes into the game.
I feel like they cut together Taj's storyline. Like, she's just deeply uncomfortable at the beach. She's really hot.
Yeah, that's her character. They're definitely cutting her to be the fool. But traditionally speaking, in this portion of the game, in Bachelor Paradise, the later you come into the game, the worse off it is for you.
Yeah.
Any player who comes in, once relationships have already been established, you're just fucked. There's
if
no
you
way
come
around
in
it.
And they're like, oh yeah, this is our like fourth row ceremony or something, you're fucked. You really got
to
pull it out of your ass.
You have
Taj
to do
does
something.
A pretty good job, though. She fakes a medical condition. That's a really good strategy to me for attention, screen time, guacamole, whatever you want.
Yeah, faking a medical emergency, I agree, is a fantastic way to get screen time. It's a guarantee that you're going to get screen time. After Tajwan's entry, we have something very interesting that takes place. Sydney starts a round of discussion about how bad of a kisser Colton is.
Everything in this show is there on purpose. The producers want to shit on Colton in this moment.
Well, certainly they then allow three other women to say that he was bad at kissing as well. Corroboration times three. Now, why would they have done this, I asked myself. Why would they ever air something, a piece of footage, that denigrates one of their own kings? Somebody that they worked very hard to market and put out there, who got them pretty good ratings. Why would they do that? I'll tell you why. This past week, or a couple weeks ago, Colton went on This American Life, and he talked shit about the producers. He openly said,
I gotta watch this.
They manipulated the, not game, he didn't call it a game even though it is, but he said, they manipulated me. I would tell them who I liked, and then they would keep those girls off of group dates, but I said that I liked them because I wanted them to be on group dates. So he admitted that he lied to the producers to try and game them to get them to put whichever girls on the dates that he wanted. This aired a few weeks ago. I guarantee you those producers went into that edit bay and were like, throw in that shit that makes Colton look stupid. We'll show him who's boss. That's 100% what happened. I have no doubt in my mind.
So is it a conspiracy or is it a fact?
It's a fact.
This is Game of Roses, where bachelor conspiracies are facts.
By the way, a conspiracy is just a group of people working in a clandestine manner to achieve some goal. The entire show is a conspiracy. I mean, that's the premise of the fucking show. Is a bunch of maniacs twisting things around behind the scenes. Lord Harrison comes on this fucking show every goddamn week and is like, as you know, everybody, it's only about us helping you find love. He says that every fucking week. We now just saw.
Praise be Lord Harrison.
Of course, praise be him. But also, what a fucking piece of shit. He comes out there and says these things, and then we watch them orchestrate scenarios designed to destroy people, to take burgeoning love, like what Clay and Nicole potentially have, if that's real. Then the producers undercut it by sending his ex-girlfriend onto the show? That's insane. Of course they don't care about helping them find love. They care about driving them to the point of nervous breakdown, physical violence, or needing to use the fuck room, which we saw tonight as well. But let's not get out of order.
That is perfectly in order. This is right after this. They showed that Clay and Nicole went to the fuck room. They signed all the necessary contracts to have intercourse on the show, which all has arisen from the Corinne and DeMario scandal.
Which, by the way, was orchestrated by producers. Both Corinne and Mario said it was purely consensual. It was the producer who said that is sexual assault. It was the producer who drummed up that entire thing.
You think it's in the producer's best interest to shut down production?
No, I don't. But I think all the producers are constantly looking for something that is dramatic.
Well, but anyway. Yeah,
so the fuck room.
Yeah.
Let's discuss the fuck room.
Let's discuss the fuck room. Who has been to the fuck room from this season? Nicole and Clay.
And Hannah and Dylan. Those are the only ones so far, right? They showed them both. It looked like they were both in the same room, too, with that shot.
I do not understand why people are so into Dylan. He came into the game obsessed with this girl. I mean, that's...
He's a nice guy. That's all it takes on this show. When you got, like, fucking Blake running around fucking everyone at Stagecoach and Stagecoach.
He looks 4TRR compared to Blake, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So, the fuck room. Can anybody go in the fuck room, do we think?
No, I don't think anyone can go in the fuck room. I think you have to be in a relationship at least for a little while. The producers have to have been able to... have made a story out of your relationship with somebody at this point, and it obviously needs to be still active. And then you can go ask them for the key to the fuck room, sign the necessary paperwork, and fuck. Well, in Bachelor in Paradise history, there was a time when the fuck room was a free-for-all. I think you'll remember,
oh, I remember
Amanda
that.
Stanton
I remember those days.
And
the pizza?
The pizza guy. Who was that guy that ate all the pizza?
Josh Murray.
Josh Murray. And Nick Vial was on that season.
Oh, God. That this Bachelor in Paradise season sucks. Think about that. We could have had Josh Murray and Nick Vial.
Instagram has changed everything. Josh Murray and Nick Vial didn't have social media to contend with like it exists now. As you've seen, all of them are talking openly about their Instagram accounts.
They're calling each other Stagecoach. By their handles.
Exactly. That did not exist. Even, I would say, one iteration ago of this show was when it really started kicking into full gear. But now we're in a whole new era of the game.
Twin Haley of the Twins joins Paradise, goes on a date with John Paul Jones, gets our first black box of the season, I believe, when John Paul Jones rubs swimsuit on her ass.
You know, I thought she got slighted here. I thought that was a very strong play to do something hypersexual that would require a black box like that. And they gave it almost no screen time. They just kind of glossed over it. And I felt a little bad for her because she is... At this point, she's like an Olympic athlete who's at their last Olympics. You're either winning the gold this time or you're never going to get another chance.
I mean, she's 26, for God's sakes. She's ancient.
So then Caitlin takes Blake off to a secluded little area and says, I made you a mini VIP Stagecoach. We hit the Stagecoach joke one more time. And then he does his spin move, spins her around, and kisses her.
And he says, you got to get loose,
that's
Caitlin.
Right. That's what Stagecoach is about, getting loose.
Loosening up.
Then we have Christina T. takes Blake aside and grills him. Now, this is my play of the game. Christina takes Blake aside and says, "You are going to give me that fucking friendship rose, you piece of shit. I gave you a rose to give you another chance. Now you're going to fucking repay the favor, asshole." But she says it in a way that, to me, belies maybe she has blackmail on him. Maybe she has Russian compromise on him. And all of our worlds are coming together now. It's Trump. It's Bachelor in Paradise. It's Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars with Hannah Brown. It's all the same thing. A Machiavellian plot to destroy American democracy. Right?
I mean, I would say this was my play of the game as well. I guess if I look deeply enough, it was for those reasons. Yeah, Christina just using her KGB tactics to extract a friendship rose from Blake was the best move of this episode. I mean, he was like making out with Caitlin.
Yeah.
It was a very strong move. He said to Caitlin, "I'm going to give you my rose," and Christina took back that rose.
This was your play too?
This is my play of the game, yeah. She was my MVP.
Do you believe that she had blackmail on him?
Yes. Well, okay.
Something happened.
I should mention,
coach.
Earlier this week at Bachelor Clues messaged me and was like, "Someone sent me about a Bachelor conspiracy." This is immediately what my instinct was. That is all I was thinking during this. After this, we have a rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. Lord Harrison comes in to announce that he's changing the rules. Benevolent Lord Harrison.
The only one who can change the rules.
And we have our first woman man rose coming from Demi.
It's worth noting that the actual words he uses when he has her present the rose are, "Demi, come take my place." He says literally that, "Demi, come take my place." He's standing near the pedestal. He's implying that she should come up to where he's standing by the pedestal, but it's a strange choice of words to say, "Come take my place." Wouldn't you just say, "Come up here and give out the first rose. Come up to the pedestal. Initiate the rose ceremony." Something like that, right? But he says, "Come take my place." I'm okay, telling you, they're like grooming. This is not a conspiracy. They're grooming her to be the next Lord Harrison. The Lord Harrison of a next generation. A bisexual Lord Harrison.
I think it's too soon for a bisexual Lord Harrison. I'm sorry. I can't see it.
Yeah, we'll see.
I can see them giving it to like a young Ben Higgins.
Well, so the rose ceremony concludes. Christina gets the friendship rose. And Katie, her Hail Mary plea to Chris works out. She actually gets the rose too.
This was another contender for play of the game by Katie.
It was for me too. But to me, she got edged out by Christina because Christina, her play is exceptional.
Yes.
Katie was just, it was a passioned play and it worked. But there's not enough.
Katie had more going for her with Chris than Christina has with Blake, theoretically.
And I think, too, Katie, she doesn't have the technique. She's got a little bit of raw skill, but Christina is a fine-tuned machine. Really, really expertly done. Congratulations, Christina. You are my MVP as well.
I mean, Christina has gotten this far in Paradise and not kissed anyone. That is a true MVP.
So then the second episode of this week's game, we open with Dean quickly dumping Kaylin just after he gave her the rose. Just after he gave her a birthday celebration. This was an interesting play on his part, a total ejection from the game, and it truly did seem to me like he is done. He just retired.
We watched one of the greats walk off the field.
Forever. And I was a little sad at that. Not as sad as Kaylin, obviously, because she is now thinking to herself, "Holy fuck, I had somebody I was locked in with to the end of this fucking game. Now I gotta find somebody else." And she's pretending to be emotionally hurt, which you have to do. That's part of this.
She's grieving for those joint Instagram account followers that she'll never have.
As well as she's thinking about who's the next guy that's going to come down the walkway, because she's going to have to turn on a dime. She knows that, and she's doing the preparation for it, which it turns out later, she did very well. Then we have John Paul Jones crying. He has been pushed to the point of a nervous breakdown. The producers finally did it. They got one, and it's JPJ. I wouldn't have guessed him, but it turned out to be him.
He's like sob. He just like didn't know what to do with all the women. He played poor defense. Let's say it that way.
Absolutely poor.
John Paul Jones like was kind of like thrown into these, "I guess I'll go on these dates." And then he just looped around, like didn't seem to know what he was doing, which way was up. he starts crying and he says that it's the woman he loves, which he hasn't said that he loves Tayshia at all to anyone. And then the show, in this like moment of pain, I mean, they've used John Paul Jones crying in a bunch of the trailers. They're like monetizing off of his pain. And then they just show a bunch of animals running into holes, running away from his tears.
They turn into a joke. He's a fool character. Now, all that said, I'm going to tell you something that I saw in this. A bit of play that I was impressed by. And it didn't come from JPJ. It came from Blake. Blake sees JPJ crying by himself over in the sand. What does he do? Ah, this is screen time. He gets up. He goes over and he puts an arm around him and says, "Let's talk about it, bro."
Blake sees screen time.
He initiates a conversation with someone who's crying on the beach.
Blake sees redemption possibilities.
I think he's beyond that. I think there's no redeeming him. He will forever be the guy who fucked 10 girls at Stagecoach.
Yeah.
Forever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's got no chance at Bachelor. The people at the wedding already were like, oh, Stagecoach.
They might bring him back to BIP next season. I was reminded when he did that he also tried to do it to Kaylin. When she had a particularly bad conversation with Deanie Babies, he came over and tried to put an arm around her, and she's like, "Don't hug me. That makes it worse." I don't know if you remember this. It was from the first episode of this.
I do remember this. I noted that it was weird.
He's trying to get screen time there, and I think he recognizes this as a tactic. Hats off to you. That's a high-level strategy, dude. Blake, people can say what they will. You're one of the greats.
You heard it here literally first. Bachelor Clues, huge friends of Balake.
I'm not his friend, but in terms of play, he's a great player. He's a really good player of the game. Look, he came in to a situation that was orchestrated to fucking destroy him on day one. The motherfucker is still in this game. He's still here.
Because he and Christina have a deal. Because she has pictures of his dick.
You think that's it? Dick
pics? I just feel like it's pictures. I don't know. That was my first instinct. Screenshots?
I don't know.
You know Blake respects screenshots.
She may have some dark screenshots that he doesn't want out. Fuck, I don't know.
Oh, she's had a fucking vicious run this season. She said in one of these episodes, she was like, "I know he's not interested in Caitlin because he would have fucked her in Stagecoach."
She speaks the truth.
Didn't make the Stagecoach shortlist.
You only got 3 days at Stagecoach.
You now know so much about Stagecoach, don't you?
The amount that video that I made for the Stagecoach thing.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck even is Stagecoach? I knew it was a music festival, but I didn't know really what
it
was.
I thought it was like country festival. That's all I knew.
I started watching all these videos on YouTube of it, and I was just like,
wait, where is it?
Indio, California.
Oh, I thought it was in like Nashville or something.
No.
Stagecoach is in LA?
Indio, California. Anyway, I've seen more Stagecoach footage than I need to have. Let me just put it that way. Then all of the players gather around in the palapa to find a nice big box with a bow on it. And inside is an invitation to Goose and Crystal's wedding.
They usually have a wedding during the Paradise season now, I'm pretty sure. But never to this extent and like this like production value with like storylines set up in it. Like, I mean, those weren't Crystal's real bridesmaids. She had three bridesmaids, and one of them, Angela, was just to fuck with Clay.
And that is, of course, one of the reasons that I hate this whole fucking thing so much. They orchestrated that. These producers who are supposedly helping these people find love. That's something they really want the audience to believe. It's something they keep saying again and again, and they orchestrate the situation just to bring his ex-girlfriend into the picture so that it can blow him up. And then we find out at the fucking end of this, they put her on the show. It's insane.
They also have them go to an after party where they just randomly pick out who they want to be at the after party and who has to go back to the beach.
Completely arbitrarily. And none of the players, by the way, see any problem with this or any fault lying with the producers.
No one says anything.
No one says anything. They're just like, well, I wish it would have worked out differently. It's like they're manipulating you. They have created the situation to cause you the most pain possible. That's what you're in. That's the game. Fuck, I hate it.
After the wedding, Ashley I is talking with a couple of the other ladies about Angela, and they say she has revenge body. She lost a ton of weight. And the producers put this on the show. It's just reinforcing every horrible thing about men and women and relationships. That like, oh, Angela got dumped. Oh, she has to like get really fucking thin.
That's the least of your problems. with this fucking show. Are you kidding me? That's tip of the fucking iceberg in terms of the misogyny, the racism, all the fucking discriminatory ideals that this show pumps out again and again and again.
One of my candidates for MVP during this wedding situation is the ghost of Annalise. She's been kicked off Paradise, but she has friendshipped her way into a wedding invite. And she goes on to interview every single person who's still on Paradise about their emotional problems. To me, it's like such a good move because she gets so much screen time. I think she got more screen time than fucking Crystal.
Blake was doing something similar. If you can be a shoulder, if you can be a confessor, if you can be an instigator in any of these situations, you absolutely have to do it, especially as you're saying, she was a ghost. Once you're back on the bench, it's like they might put you in for half an inning. This is it. You better hit a fucking home run.
This is her last shot. I mean, Annalise is older than anyone who's ever been in Paradise, I'm pretty sure.
Vial was like 37, I think.
Oh, I mean for women.
Oh.
It's a different cutoff. She's 34. Anyway, yeah, this is Annalise's last game. John Paul Jones does a funny thing to me here where he goes and meets, like, the family of the bride or something and is like, oh, it's so great. Like, congratulations. And then he turns to someone. He's like, yo, Derek is full of shit, man.
Yeah, he fucking turned his attitude
he
around.
He loses it. He loses it in this episode.
Well, they pushed him to it. I mean, congratulations to the producers. This is what they attempt to do every season, get at least one person to have a nervous breakdown, to not be able to handle the situation. Imagine being in this situation, for real. Cut off from the world. You don't get to look at your cell phone. You don't get to talk to anyone who is not on that beach. You don't know what's happening in the fucking world. You can't read news.
We were talking about how this is harder than being on The Bachelor because you're basically in hotel rooms with that. This, you're like basically sleeping outside.
And you're drunk all day. The bar is like part of where you go. It's one of the hangouts. You're just drinking, 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 going on these weird dates. As soon as you start to like somebody, they either bring in their ex-girlfriend or boyfriend or another person who likes you and is going to steal you away. So you're constantly being pushed and pulled emotionally. He's said it multiple times on the show. He's emotionally drained. He keeps saying that again and again and again. And it doesn't matter. He takes another drink of something and goes on another date. And now it's all crumbling around him.
In this part, he reveals basically some things that Derek said to him, what, off camera or just not aired in this episode about Derek fucking all of his fans?
I mean, I believe him. I believe John Paul Jones when he says verbatim, you said, I can fuck my fans.
I think he said take advantage of them sexually, but yeah.
Well, whatever he said. John Paul Jones was saying,
yeah,
you said this verbatim, and it was in the vein of I fuck people off Instagram. Yes, because also Derek is not saying that's outrageous, that's crazy. He's just like, okay, you need to calm down. Oh, we need to talk. That's all he's saying. He's not denying it.
John Paul Jones' other main attack for him is about his podcast and that he's just trying to get content for his podcast, which
we understand.
I can relate to.
Me too. I can't fault a man for that.
But I do think I had never heard that Derek had a podcast, and now I feel like this has actually been good advertising for it.
I'm going to listen to it at least once. Just got to see what he's talking about.
Oh, he mentions the temporary status that he's acquired through this process. Bachelor Nation groupies.
Yeah, and then Derek admits to saying, yeah, we get to do some pretty cool stuff after this. So he's very aware of the secondary version of the game, that once you get out of Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Bachelor in Paradise, that there is another layer of this, of benefit, of dating all these other people in the, as they keep calling it, Bachelor Nation.
Goose collectively calls all of them Paradise, asks for all of Paradise to gather. We think he's going to kick them all out because John Paul Jones and Derek are fighting. But instead, he chooses an elite group of basically finalists, the people who've gone the furthest in the game, to stay for the wedding reception, and the rest have to go back to the beach.
With some exceptions. He gets rid of Nicole so that the producers can have their forced, orchestrated confrontation between Clay and his ex-girlfriend. They seek to undermine the relationship they built. And this is the cycle that happens again and again on this fucking show, and it is why I hate it. But this was also my error of the game. Clay indulged it. He didn't have to have that conversation with his ex. I know he probably wanted to, and as he said, he still had feelings, etc., etc. But if he truly valued what he had with Nicole and thought that that was a good way to get to the end of the game, he should have told the producers, I don't want to talk to her, I'm not doing this, and left and gone.
I think
back.
He should have gone back to the beach right away.
Yeah.
He should have been like, no, I want to hang out with Nicole. That would have been, Clay, that would have been a good play for Bachelor. Nicole also blames Angela when it's clearly the producers. They show everyone lecturing Blake at the wedding. That was funny. Astrid tells him you should probably go to Europe.
That's harsh. You know, it's giving a little bit of credence to the thing he said very early in this season. I'm going to have to go into hiding. She's essentially saying, yes, you are. At least from Americans.
The thing is, so Bachelor Nation, they're still going to fuck Blake. Come on, Astrid. You're not dumb. Fucking Waboom probably got laid from this show.
No.
Yes.
No way.
Absolutely.
Anyone
who is recognizable in this, I bet, has gotten laid from it.
No way.
Night one, guys.
First of all, is Waboom recognizable without the Waboom t-shirt? Secondarily, is he wearing that into bars and that works, you think?
I bet he has used it to pick up women. Yeah.
And how long do you think that that time period lasts for somebody like Waboom? He got kicked off, I think, in the third episode that season.
I think it directly correlates with how long you last in the game. Caitlin is so down in the dumps about Dean dumping her last night on her birthday. But luckily, another person is there, Connor, who I'm pretty sure is just John Paul Jones wearing a mask on stilts.
So it seems Caitlin has made a good play here. She's essentially completely turned around her shitty luck. She had a relationship she thought was going to last to the end. He dumped her. And emotionally, she cinches that off immediately. She cries a little bit. She gives the necessary signs that we need as a viewing audience to know she's experiencing pain. And she is the victim in this situation. And then lo and behold, she's now ready to find love again with a new guy immediately, literally 24 hours later.
It was a beautiful pivot. You feel for her when she's crying, but then when she's like, oh, well, there's Connor, everyone cheers for her when she goes on a date with him.
She
like,
deserves,
she deserves this.
She
even though,
badly.
You know, Christina's like, I've been hanging around and this is the first person I'm interested in.
To do a late game switch like that, a late season switch, it's fucking difficult.
Connor and Caitlin go out and throw paint at each other. I make a disgusting mural.
I'd proudly hang that in my home. I actually want it. Is there any way to get that? If anybody out there knows how to get that painting,
please
reach
out to us if you know how to get that paint swirl. Where do those paintings go that they make with their bodies?
I don't know. They're probably in a vault somewhere. Mike Fleiss has them hanging in his dungeon. And then in the end of the episode, Angela comes in. She's a player now. She's going to be in the pool. And this is just, again, 100% clear-cut evidence that the producers are trying to sabotage every relationship they're creating, because that's what gives them ratings. They don't care about these people. They don't care about love. All of this must be accepted and understood.
But don't you think they want engagements?
Yeah, I think they want one engagement or two, maybe. But this is a way that they can end it with a bang. I think they see they already have a couple of couples set up, the ones who are likely to be engaged. This one isn't going to last.
Right.
So they're trying to tear it down. They want people to be sad and extremely happy simultaneously. But as a player, remember this moment, because it's crucial to know the game you're walking into. These producers don't care about you other than how they can manipulate you for ratings. And this is just clear evidence of that. We'll call it Clay's conundrum. Remember that, players. Clay is in a conundrum right now. He's started a new relationship with somebody that it seems like he could fall in love with very easily. But they bring his ex-girlfriend back right when that one's getting started. That's
right,
Clay's conundrum.
Right when they've entered the fuck room. That's when you want to bring in Angela.
Bachelor producers have a long history of bringing in exes or parents or anyone to throw you off your game immediately after you fucked the person. They did it with Desiree. They did it with Becca. So that wraps up
another week of Great play by some. Christina, Kaylin, Blake.
I think Blake Annalise. Is playing well, yeah. Annalise, great. And Clay made a costly error. We're going to see how costly here. It's not looking good for him. Before we sign off, what's the dwab at?
It's been 6,364 days without a Black Bachelor.
And it looks like we're going to get another year at least, right?
Reality Steve has announced that he believes Pilot Pete to be the next Bachelor. This hasn't been confirmed by ABC. I feel the same way that I feel about Trump. It's like I'm shocked by each new thing, but I'm not shocked.
Do you believe there will ever be a Black Bachelor?
Season 39 of The Bachelor will be a Black Bachelor.
15 years from now?
Yeah. Half Black.
Will this show be on in 15 years? I will certainly not be alive if that's the case.
Wait, if this show is still on, you'll be dead.
I think
you'll
so.
Have killed yourself.
Or just died from sorrow. See you next week.
Wait. Before we sign off, if you are into the podcast, please subscribe on iTunes and rate us, as well as give us a review. That will help other people discover the podcast. Or you can just tell a friend. Signing off, Lizzie Pace.
Bachelor Clues.
Praise be Lord Harrison.